You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I am so excited. We are back for part two of why you don't feel God anymore and why that doesn't mean you're off track. If you were here last week, we talked about this understanding or these five pillars of knowing when you're in the promised land, when you're in purpose, but really it is a way for us to have a finger or a pulse on spiritual maturity and what that looks like, what that feels like, and how we can identify that we are in that place and space. Because a lot of us retreat, we don't feel well, we're dealing with attacks, we're going through hell, okay? Bars. We are then in a place of despair, we feel forgotten about, we feel overwhelmed, and we eventually burn out because we're doing things to try to get out of a space that we've been called to. And then you're questioning every decision you ever made in your whole life, and you're questioning God, and then you get apathetic and you shut down. Not on our watch, okay? Not on our watch. And by our, I mean me and the Lord, because he'd be helping me with these episodes. So last week, we talked about the first two ways that you are able to know that you are in the promised land. And these ways, the reason that they feel a little spicy is because they go against what you know. They go against what you would think happens. So the first is your provision has shifted. It goes from being passive to something that you have to participate in. Go read Joshua 5. They get to the promised land. They eat fruit from the land. There's no more manna. Okay? Something that they've had for the last 40 years. Gone. The way that they received from God for the last 40 years. Changed. That has to be a little off-putting. Okay? The second that we talked about last week was encountering strategic resistance. We talked about how this is something that is not chaotic. It's not because you don't have good boundaries. This is something that is typically very personal, very touchy, a very tender area, typically has to do with where God is calling you. So I told you, I had been crying, okay? Like, it was ghetto. It was ghetto last week. I just don't feel good on the inside. I don't like it. But God is good to me, okay? But that strategic resistance of my mental health being imposed upon when God is calling me into, one, studying for boards for mental health, because now that I'm done with school, little Lucy's like, oh, you really for real about this? You're going to keep doing the stuff. So now the next level of attack gets launched. Strategic resistance. We talked about how God gave a strategy for Jericho that didn't make no sense, but Jericho was the walls that stood in place in front of the promised land and the people of Israel. So they had to come down. That success from obedience versus the battle of Ai, where there was internal compromise within the camp, that and then also the not using discernment with the Gibeonites, and now you linked and in covenant with somebody that God never called you. Those are different things. But we talked about that in depth last week. If you have not listened to last week's episode, you need to. This is becoming a series. I don't even know how. Because, I do. The Lord, he be given abundantly. Okay. But you get what I'm saying. Today, we're going to dive right into those last three points. We have a lot to cover. I want to get right into it. So, your provision has shifted from passive to participatory. You're encountering strategic resistance. The next way that you know that you're maturing, you're in the promised land, or if you are, you don't feel God and you want to make sure that you're not off track. You're being stretched to lead and not simply to follow. This is where we have a lot of tension. Following God oftentimes feels easier when you're not responsible for making the decisions. I told my therapist this last week. I said, I feel like I keep getting told I'm not in control, but I also am responsible. That's ghetto. Okay, we don't talk about that enough. I'm not in control. The Lord is. Charlotte is responsible for her life. I don't like that. I don't like that tension at all. But when we were not as mature, it felt like things were a lot more obvious, right? Remember, we talked about the cloud and the fire before in Exodus that was guiding the people. It felt a lot more obvious. God was giving you very clear instructions. He was lining everything up. He sent three confirmations, okay? Once, twice, and thrice, he let you know that it was what it was. But now you're having to make decisions. You're having to move forward. You're having to plan. You're having to lead. And no one ever really prepared you that this was coming. And so it can feel like you're off track, but God, again, is just growing you. In spiritual maturity, God is still speaking. He's still leading. But now he is inviting us to participate in our own breakthrough. Not from a place of us striving, but from a place of stewardship. He's already delivered on the promise. And so now he's saying, how are you going to manage what I gave you? How are you going to handle what I've entrusted you with? It's not a place of punishment, but of partnership. He's still with us. He's just not making every move for you anymore. And it's not because he is abandoning you. It's because he's developing you. He's teaching you to lead in partnership with him. So we never stop following. But now we're getting an opportunity to lead in conjunction with the Lord. And that feels like a lot. It feels like a lot. When we're looking at Joshua's story and we're looking at Joshua 18, by the time we get to Joshua 18, Israel's already in the promised land. Jericho has fallen. They lost the battle at Ai. They repented. Ai has been conquered now. They've defeated multiple kings. They've secured access to the land. But in Joshua 18, there is still a problem. Okay, because if you remember when we started this series a couple weeks ago, I told y'all all of this started when God gave me one revelation about Eden and the promised land, because I was reading and it said that they entered the promised land, they had to conquer it and then divide it. So by the time we get to Joshua 18, it is an issue that seven of the 12 tribes still have not claimed their inheritance. They're living in the land, but they're not possessing the land. It's been given to them, but it's not being governed by them. And Joshua goes and he talks about this head on. He confronts them head on. He says, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? That's in Joshua 18 and 3. Joshua is not questioning God's provision or his promise. He's questioning the passivity of those tribes. God had already given and made good on his word. The land was available, the assignment was active, but the people were stuck and they were being delayed. And it wasn't because of disobedience, but it was because they really did not know what to do next. They didn't know how to move forward without someone else taking the lead. Imagine them as kids, they saw Moses leading, and then as adults, Joshua was their leader, and now it's like, all right, now go on and get it. Huh? Me? In charge? I'm just a baby. I'm just a girl. I'm just a girl. I don't know what you want from me. I'm but a wee baby. Okay? But once you start maturing, God said, no, we're going to take them training wheels off. We're going to take them training wheels off. Joshua gives them practical instructions, right? Select 3 men from each tribe, go out, survey the land, write down what you see, bring a report back, then the inheritance can be distributed. Now we're not waiting. We're not all over the place. It just was time to do the things. Okay, my Gigi used to say, either pee or get off the pot. You can't, we got to do the stuff. Okay? But that's what maturing, spiritually maturing in purpose, this is what it looks like. We're not waiting on more miracles all the time. But we're partnering with God. We're planning. There's structure. There's ownership. The land didn't walk up to them. They had to walk into it. And there's this shift that we don't talk about enough when we feel like we don't hear from God anymore. And it's because we're no longer externally dependent, but now God has given us internal agency. And so in like childhood development, when we talk about Eric Erickson, we talked about him last week, the psychologist, we're relying completely on someone to feed us, to lead us, right? Parents, caregivers, leaders, to tell us what to do and when to do it. But as we grow, we're meant to develop what's called your internal locus of control. This is the belief that you can make decisions, you can take action, and you can impact your own outcomes. A lot of us have had this stifled on if you've grown up in a very strict household, etc. But we have to ask the Lord to help us cultivate this because the same principle applies to us spiritually. Early in faith, we often need a sign, you need confirmation, you need a push, and that's okay for a season. I'm not saying that God won't even give you some confirmation along the way, but spiritual maturity looks like God saying, hey, girl, I gave you the land. I need you to go take possession. And this is where a lot of us get stuck because we're taught to associate holiness and hesitation. Holiness and hesitation are not the same thing. I don't want to hear nothing else. You know, God told you to be a nurse. Oh, I'm waiting on God. If you don't get up and go put that application in for nursing school, I know something, friend. I know something real bad. Okay? I know something. We have been taught that waiting always equated to faith. We will wait in our faith journey, but there are times where faith also takes initiative. That's why the Bible tells us both things. We're saved by grace alone. That's where when Paul tells us that, hey girl, you're saved by grace alone, meaning that you're not really in control. Remember, this is a partnership. So in those moments where you have to wait, that's where we're saved by grace alone. And also James, okay, this is Jesus' brother James, has said faith without works is dead, both. And we get stuck because we oftentimes are taught more about that waiting part and not enough about faith requiring a level of initiative as well. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:1, and this is where I want you to understand, like you have that agency. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And that is what agency looks like. It's not you going off the grid, you going rogue, you doing things all the way left, but it's you walking in alignment with what God has already revealed to you. If your mom when you were like me, a little latchkey kid, and you could be left at home by yourself, if your mama told you that you could eat a Lunchable when you got home, why are you calling her, asking her if you can have a Lunchable out the fridge? Didn't she already say? Don't you call her at her job, bothering her about that Lunchable? That's what we look like. God is like, no, girl, I told you you could have this. I told you this is where you're supposed to be. And we're still asking him for access to stuff that he's given us agency over. So when God starts pulling you into decision making, into delegating, into direction, we have to understand that's a part of promotion. And if we're not in tune enough, it can feel like punishment because it's overwhelming. And you're like, nobody ever taught me this. But that means that God is trusting you to partner with him and not to just passively obey. The issue is that our emotions try to talk louder than the Lord. And it's like, but what if I mess up? What if I step and it's not God? Can you tell me one more time? Right? We're looking for more confirmation. You might freeze because you don't really trust yourself, even though you believe in God. But if God deems you trustworthy enough to give you the promotion, then you need to do what you've been called to do. If you've never been in a space where faith meant to take initiative, then you will feel uncomfortable. And the fear of messing up will paralyze you. So you have to be clear that when you're in a place like this, God is developing you. This is where God teaches you to trust what he already said. It's not because he stopped talking. He's always speaking. But he also said what he said. And I'm not about to repeat myself 50, 11 times. Go read it again. Okay? Don't ask me no more. That's not how God taught us, but I got black parents. Right? He's teaching you to walk without you needing, you know, the little leash thing that we see them kids in. He's teaching you how to ride without training wheels on. And so when Joshua rebukes the tribes, he's not being harsh, but he's saying, hey, like the Lord gave you something holy. You need to take responsibility for your inheritance. And many of us need to do the same thing in the spirit. Like, we're done being dragged through the desert. God is giving you a position where he's called you to lead. He's giving you the vision. He's giving you structure and courage. And I need you to understand something else too. Okay. Look what Joshua don't do. Joshua didn't say, go pray about it. He didn't say, go pray about the land that God already set apart for you. He did not say, go pray about it. He said, go survey it. Write down what you saw. Split it up. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is to sit down, write out what God told you to do, and then do what he said. Sometimes it don't take a 40-day fast. You need to be fast in doing what he said. Okay? I'm not saying be reckless. I'm saying that we need to learn how to operate in the agency that God has given us. So here's some things that you can do if you are struggling with this. I need you to talk to God. Hey, God, I am afraid of messing up. I'm going to do what you said, but I'm afraid of messing up. That honesty and transparency, because we are in partnership with him. Follow me as I follow the Lord. God can work with the truth and he's not appalled by it. You think he'll be like, oh, word, I didn't know. Of course he knew. He's God. Okay. Then I want you to go back and look at the last thing that God said clearly. If you are unsure in what God is calling you to do in this season, go back to the last thing that he told you to do. Start there. You don't need a new miracle. You don't need a new prophet to come and like do what he said the last time. Make sure you did it in totality. Make sure that there's no internal compromise. Like when God said, hey, get rid of all of that stuff from the battle of Ai, and what's his face decided to bring some back. Like, make sure that we are addressing in totality what God said the first time. Move on what he already told you to do. And then just start where you are. Okay. Survey your own land. What did God already give you? What does he put in your hands? What part of your purpose needs planning, mapping, intentional movement? If you've already been operating and doing the things, what needs to be revisited? He gave manna for 40 years and then he changed direction. So we have to make sure that we're married to the mission and not the method. God called me to podcast. This podcast has gone from God Goals and Girl Talk to Prescription for Purpose to it has pivoted and grown. So we have to make sure that we are in position and doing what God called us to do. Okay? I need us to stop saying that we're waiting on God when God said, I'm waiting on you. The land is already yours. Act like the land belongs to you. Purpose is not going to babysit you. It's going to call you into ownership. And so if you're being asked to decide, to lead, or to build, we have to take it seriously. But know that you've been trusted enough to do that. So you can't be off track and trusted by God at the same time. We have to be rooted in understanding that. So I want you, if you're stuck in this place or in this space, or if this resonates with you, I want you to ask yourself, where have I mistaken God's invitation to lead as a sign that I'm not ready? Imagine God saying, hey, go lead. He's not going to send you out immaturely. You're never going to be all the way ready because it's going to continue to grow. But if he's calling you to point A, get there. Get there. And you're not going to have 5011 confirmations because you are being matured. The next way that you know that you're in purpose in the promised land, or how to know you're not off track, even if God feels silent, is that you're being called to rebuild structures and not just simply to receive support. Support and structure are not the same thing. And a lot of times, support feels safer than structure. So in the wilderness, everything is about survival. God is showing up with daily provision. People are checking in, your emotions are high, but there is a sense of dependence that feels very comforting. But in the promised land, there is a shift. God starts treating you like a co-laborer. Okay, this is not the crisis line anymore. Jesus is still on the main line, but now you're co-laboring. And that transition, if we are not looking at it with proper perspective, can feel like God is abandoning you, but really he is calling you into maturity. So you might say, like, I don't feel like I used to. I feel overwhelmed by the stuff that I prayed for. Why does this blessing feel so heavy? This blessing feels like a burden. You are in a place where you don't feel supported, but that's not true. You're being stretched to steward, friend. And God is showing you how to sustain the promise. He's showing you how to sustain the promise, not just how to survive under pressure. A lot of us don't know how to do that. A lot of us don't know how to do that. This is why this matters. We talked a little bit about Joshua 18 and the dividing of the land. Okay, this is where the term divide and conquer comes from. Okay. In chapters 13 to 21, they often get overlooked because it reads like almost like Leviticus does, where it's just like a bunch of like, what? What this got to do with me? Okay. It reads like the genealogies. And if you're not careful, all you'll see is a list of boundaries and cities and land assignments. But if you look at what's really happening, these chapters are really a masterclass in what we need to be focused on. So after the battles have been won, the things that has to come next, now that we're not trying to survive, okay, because the battle isn't ours, it's the Lord's, and he already got the victory, and so do we, okay? Now we need structure. So in Joshua 13, God tells Joshua, you're old, and there remains a lot of land to possess. And he's essentially telling Joshua, like, you fought really well, but there's still a lot of land that needs to be claimed. And so God lays out instructions for dividing the territory. So just because the promise has been delivered on, it does not mean that it's fully developed. A lot of us get the promise and then we're frustrated because we get it in its infancy. Victory gives you access, but structure is how you are able to sustain. Then if you look at Joshua chapters 14 through 19, all of these tribes are assigned their portions. There's boundaries drawn, there's names put to the cities, and this is something that represents covenant. This is not just random, and it fulfills the promises of Genesis 12 and Numbers 34. This was something that was done in an orderly fashion, not chaotic. Not chaotic. So if you're operating in purpose in your business and this, that, the third, you're like, oh, I don't hear God anymore. If your business operates chaotically, let's do some inventory. Are there processes in place? Because the boundaries, it was protection for the inheritance of those tribes. It preserved their identity, and it was a reflection of God's intentionality. Do you see that in your life? Are there boundaries? Is there intention? Okay, then maybe we need to address that. In Joshua 20, God establishes the cities of refuge. And these were legal structures that provided safety and due process to people who unintentionally caused harm. Now, that'll teach all by itself, but I'm gonna keep going, okay? This is a place that God set aside as a place of safety for people who like did something on accident. God's promises always include justice. He doesn't just deliver you, but then he then develops a system that reflects his mercy, that reflects nuance, that reflects grace, that reflects kindness, gentleness, and fairness, but also and justice too. And then in Joshua 21, the Levites, who are the priests, they receive their designated cities. They don't not land, right? Their role is spiritual leadership and community care, and they are planted across the nation. And I think it's important to understand that community can't survive just on money, right? Commerce and conquest. There has to be worship, there has to be teaching, there has to be accountability baked in to the structure of the promise. What does that mean for you? You can't just, all I do is study my Bible, it's just me and the Lord, and I go to work and come home. No, you need to be in community. You need to be not forsaking the assembly of the saints. You need to have a good church home where they're actually teaching the Bible. These things are important because they're a part of the structure and you being able to sustain. As I struggled last week, I absolutely text my bestie and said, hey, girl, pray for me because something is off. Then I also text my first lady, who also is my mentor, and said, hey, I'm not feeling good. Here's what I'm feeling. I need to get on your calendar. And did. And still went to therapy. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to have all of the parts. The reason that we often struggle with the building of structures is that in the wilderness, the conditions in the wilderness season train us to expect constant help, constant rescue, constant reassurance. And for a while, that is what we need. Okay, when you're a babe in Christ, that's what you need. When a baby first starts walking, somebody's behind them. With hands. Like, don't fall, don't fall. By the time they're 2, 3, Alicia Keys said, I keep on falling. Okay. We don't want, not to a way that they are harming themselves, but toddlers toddle. Their heads are big, guys. Biggest part of their body is their head. But you're not behind them, or you would never get anything done. And that's like us spiritually. But when you start to mature, God is not going to keep coddling you. He's going to coach you. So when that toddler falls, you're okay, baby. Let me check on you. Go ahead and try again. And it can feel like that shift is, again, abandonment. Like that, it can feel like that, but that does not true. Your feelings are valid, and that does not always speak to the reality of the situation. You go from feeling so supported to, why does it feel like nobody's checking on me? But God is inviting you to governance. He's inviting you to be in charge. when you experience that emotional, like everything's on an emotional high, your capacity is growing. Right? You're not just here to feel safe. This walk, this life is not just about you. You have to build something that can sustain other people as well. There's a purpose, God's purpose, that we have to make sure that we are in alignment with. So when you look at these chapters in Joshua, when you look at chapters 13 through 21, what we really see is that miracles will oftentimes bring you into the land, but you have to have structure so you can stay there. God is going to always continue to honor covenant. He's going to give clarity. And every system that he establishes, we see boundaries, justice, rest, and spiritual order. That means that when we are putting structures in place, we have to reflect his character to sustain his people. And this is why many people walk into the very thing that they prayed for and feel like they're drowning. It's not because you're disobedient. It's not because God is mad at you. It's not because you took a wrong turn. It's not because you're not ready. It's because you got the breakthrough, but we did it void of a blueprint. You have to build with God. There has to be structure here. Remember, I told you it's like a renovation project. Ain't no house, okay? There's no house on the land. You have to do the things, get the land ready, make sure it's properly taken care of, cultivate it. Then you got to build the house, and the house needs a foundation. You can't just throw up some sticks. This is not the Three Little Pigs. Okay? God doesn't just want to bless you. God wants you to build with him. God wants you to build with him. And I'm going to give you, again, just some elements of what building with God looks like. But I think I'm going to actually turn this building lesson into a lesson within the app because it's necessary. So when God designs structure, here are some things you have to have. Boundaries, cycles of rest, justice and accountability, spiritual priority. And I think that's it. Those are my four. Boundaries, cycles of rest, justice and accountability, spiritual priority. Those are your four. So if you are struggling with structure, go back and find where you've been operating without it. Where are you winging it? That's where you need to address. Go back and build what you skipped. Create the budget. Set your communication and relational norms. Establish your non-negotiables in your rest. And then we have to stop expecting God to maintain what he's calling you to manage. He's calling you to manage it. You don't need another miracle, sis. We just got to come up with a plan to manage all of this stuff because God gave us the land and now we have to steward it. And it's breakthrough without structure that turns into burnout. Evidence of purpose is not about your excitement. It's about how well you're building with what God gave you. And so I want you to, again, just ask yourself, where in my life am I praying for peace when God is calling me to build structure? Do you need to pray or do we need to put some boundaries in place? Right? Like, we are to pray without ceasing, guys. Okay. Don't play with me. But you hear what I'm saying and you know what I mean. Now let's get through point five. The last way that you're able to know that you are in the promised land, in purpose, you're not off track. Your faith is being embodied. And that doesn't mean that it's always emotional. When your faith is embodied and not only emotional, it can disorient you. Okay? one of the most disorienting things about becoming more mature, operating in purpose, is it can feel like it got quiet. Like you're not crying in worship the way that you used to. You don't get these daily confirmations. Your prayers often feel like they're met with like silence. And because you don't feel that spark, or you don't feel like you're sensing God like you did before, you start to wonder, did I do something wrong? Did I make a wrong turn? But the absence of stimulation is not the absence of God. The absence of stimulation is not the equal to the absence of God. It is evidence that you are growing. You're not walking merely by adrenaline anymore. You are abiding. And that's what it feels like as you mature in your relationship with God, as you're walking in purpose. You're not feeling emotionally coddled. And that's because God has moved you to a place where he can entrust you with some things. A lot of times we associate connection with stimulation, emotionally, sensory, those visceral feelings. And early in our faith, just like in human development, okay, closeness is grown through immediate response. When I cry, God answers. When I pray, I feel something. When I worship, I weep. Those moments are very real and they're very formative. They establish trust, just like Eric Erickson's trust versus mistrust in child development. Like, this is why, like, I cry, parents feed. That's how trust is built. But as we grow into the stages that demand autonomy, that demand initiative, spiritually, that looks like walking with God even when you don't feel him, or moving forward even when there is silence, trusting God's word without needing a sign. The sign is written in the book, okay? And all scripture is profitable and breathed by God. That's what Timothy had said. So it's in there. That's all the confirmation we should need. That's easier said than done. And because that transition is not natural to our nervous system, our body is accustomed to interpreting stimulation as safety. So when God removes the training wheels, your emotions try to interpret this as abandonment, even though it's actually an invitation to mature. There's a level of somatic maturity that we have to operate in. Somatic maturity means that your nervous system learns to rest in God's presence even without all of the emotional highs. So your brain, your body, and your belief start to work together. And it's not just a reactionary thing, but it's a regulatory thing. I'm now regulated by this. This is how I abide in Christ. Right? Look at what happened in the promised land. Look at that shift from the wilderness to the promised land. It's much deeper than just a physical move. A lot of us get really yoked up because it seems like, because my external circumstances don't look no different, that I have not transitioned into the promised land. That's not necessarily true. It's deeper than a physical move. It is transformation in how God provides and how he guides. Those two areas, his provision and his guidance, are pillars in how you perceive your safety, and they change as you mature. So emotionally, they feel like things that anchor us. So when they shift, even if it's a part of God's design, you are going to be triggered. Anxiety, doubt, confusion. Ah, what happened? What happened to the manna? Huh? Where did it go? In the wilderness, God provided miraculously manna from heaven, water from the rocks, okay? Daily sustenance without having to plan or any of the things. And we talked about how in Joshua 5, the manna ceased the day after they ate from the produce of the land. Why did that happen? It wasn't because God stopped providing. He's God. But it was because God had already provided what was needed in the land. The land itself could now sustain them. So the miracle is now on you, like it's on you for management. You don't need manna anymore. You don't need the manna anymore. We don't like that. So we're praying and asking God for a table. And he's like, here's the tree. You got to take the tree. You got to cut it down. Okay. There's some skill. There's some management involved. And so just like that provision changed, so did God's guidance. In Exodus 13 and Numbers 9, we are taught how God leads the people. He leads them visibly, very direct. There's a cloud by day, fire by night. But once they crossed over into Canaan, once they got into the promised land, guess what had happened? Gone. Visual confirmation disappeared. Those signs were no longer needed because God had already spoken. In the promised land, the word had to be enough. So that shift from that constant external reassurance, again, feels like punishment, but that is not what's happening. It is promotion. This is why the Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews 5, he rebukes the people. He rebukes believers for not growing up. He said, y'all still living on milk and you should be eating meat. Still depending on basic teachings instead of developing discernment. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use has trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And when we're in the promised land, when we're operating in purpose, we have to have enough discernment trained to where we don't need constant signs. We're not having to be spoon-fed in the spirit, but there's a level of maturity. I can eat steak because I know how to eat and I got teeth, right? I don't need all my food pureed and blended. It's yuck. I don't like the texture. And that can be hard because when you're used to being led fire by day, or fire by night, cloud by day, and walking in faith without any of that, all of a sudden, it feels like you're walking blind. But you're not. You are doing what God called you to do. John 14, 23, Jesus says, if we love him, he and the Father will make their home in us. John 15, y'all know I love John 15, verses 1 through 8. We don't have to follow him on foot anymore. Now we have to abide in him. Abide in me and I in you. Now this isn't about me walking behind you in a straight line. This is about me remaining attached. So if you're in a season where God feels quieter, where you feel more self-directed, that does not mean that you're off course. God trusts you with what he already said. He's not abandoning you. And I want to talk a little bit real quick about that somatic maturity. A lot of us confuse spiritual immaturity with distance from God, right? Because we haven't taught how to interpret a lack of stimulation. We are some of the most overstimulated, engaged people. But what has happened is your nervous system has learned to link God's presence with the tingles, with hair standing up, tears, energy. And then when that gets removed, your brain says, what happened? Something's off. But nothing is off. You're not being neglected. God is just reforming how y'all interact. God is no longer regulating your emotions for you. He's teaching you how to abide in his peace. This is what Jesus said when he, or what he meant when he said, my peace I give you, the world don't give it. So now, because you're in a place of somatic maturity, I'm chilling, right? Your baseline is peace, so you're not pressed all the time. Obedience comes from discernment and not just dopamine. You can remain rooted in spiritual truth even though there's no emotional confirmation. I can say, oh, God is with me. Know that that is the truth even though the hairs on my arm aren't standing up. We're not chasing a feeling because we're carrying his presence. We're remaining in his presence. And if we don't have the maturity to understand that, the enemy will leverage that change and our misinterpretation to make us feel lonely, to make us feel confused, to make us feel disappointed, to make us feel rejected. And you'll wonder why God isn't responding the way that he used to. And then you'll start to think that you're the problem, or that you've lost something, or that he's pulled away, but you're just abiding in him. You're learning how to stay aligned even when it's quiet, right? That spark in the beginning, when you start a fire, there's a spark, but then the flame just stays. The fire isn't gone, but it's grown to a point to where you don't need external fuel anymore. You're okay. You don't have to chase after a feeling when God is giving you the fullness of his presence. And we have to understand that. The deeper that you go into purpose, the quieter you may feel. Because God is giving you, he's resetting your whole nervous system, not just your emotions. Maturity is a stable place to be. So you don't need all of the emotional highs. Doesn't mean that you won't have any. Doesn't mean to neglect your emotions. In fact, bring them to him. But we have to understand that the emotional high that we felt when we first got saved, it evolves and changes. We're not babies anymore, friend. That's why you big girl now. And so we have to ask ourselves, have I confused my spiritual maturity with spiritual disconnection simply because I'm no longer getting constant emotional feedback? Have I confused the two? How is God calling me to abide in this season and not me just react? We have to ask those questions. Okay? So I'm going to give it to y'all one more time. We did it, y'all. The five ways that you know that you've reached the promised land. Your provision has shifted from passive to participatory. You are encountering strategic resistance. You're being stretched to lead and not just follow. You're being called to rebuild structures and not just receive support. And your faith is being embodied, and it's not just an emotional experience. If this episode, these episodes have blessed you, okay? If you've been wondering where God is, why things feel dry, why he's not speaking, I want you to hear me, girl. God has not left you, okay? I don't know if y'all can hear my nails, but clock it. God has not left you. He's not. He is growing you. You are not outside of his will. You are stepping into a deeper relationship. And the shift, it does not feel like closeness, but it is. We're moving from dependency to maturity. This isn't even about distance. This is about depth. When we first walk with God, very clear, very repeated, very confirmy, okay? Very obvious miracles. Very big visible ways. But once we are in the fullness of his presence, because that's just the beginning, as we grow, God isn't getting colder. He's not withholding love. He's already placed in us everything that we need to walk in faith. He's still very tender, still cares very much. But that tenderness matures from him rescuing us all the time, because he still will pull up and has for me. But just to us trusting him. From him having to repeat his instructions to him expecting obedience. From us having emotional highs to us knowing, like, I'm just going to do this because I honor my father and I love him. This is the shift that throws us off. And so we're looking for another word. We're looking for confirmation. We're looking for another moment, similar to how we did in the beginning of our walk with him. But if we are being honest, and if we're being introspective, what if God is waiting for you to honor the last thing he said? You want a new word. You ain't did the last thing. What if you're in the promised land, but you're still looking for strategies from the wilderness. That's not how this works. When the manna stops and the clouds are gone, that does not mean that you are forsaken. It means that you have matured. We're in the next level of the Sonic game, okay? Next level. And God expects you to move because he trusts you. Maturity means that you no longer have to rely on external direction for every single step. You still need to rely on him, but you get agency. You're learning how to walk with what he already placed on the inside of you. And so I want you to take the time to reflect. Where has God already spoken? And where are you still waiting for him to repeat himself? Where have you been looking for that emotional validation? But God is like, no, girl, like I rewired your nervous system. Peace, okay? Peace in your body, your nervous system, and your routines. Where do you need to stop asking for signs and start building the appropriate structure to do what God has called you to do? We sometimes equate noise with the value of a season. Just because you're not posting and you're not making all the posts and all the emails doesn't mean that this is a worthless season. Doesn't mean that you're off track. Doesn't mean that this has no value. In fact, a lot of us are waiting to see that external fruit, but without the proper structure, God is not going to entrust his people to you. He's not disqualifying you, but without the proper permits for the house, friend, that you're building, can't nobody live in there. It's uninhabitable. God is still being tender. He is still kind. He's still doing all of the things. He is who he says that he is. He's showing you that his trust in you is also part of his love for you. You are abiding. You're not being overlooked. He is establishing you. And so we have to learn how to not panic. We have to learn how to not rewrite and reroute what he already cemented. You have to build, you have to mature, and you have to walk in what he already said was yours. Just like them people in Joshua 18, like the land belongs to you. Go look at it, go survey it, and get in there, friend. So I pray that this has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. Girl, this is T, okay? This is T. I love you, friend. I can't wait for y'all to give me y'all's feedback on these episodes. Let me know, like the show, review it. Let me know if this has blessed you, if it shifted something in your life. I want to know, okay? I've been getting text messages, inboxes. I just love knowing that we're all in a similar season. I love you. God loves you more, girl. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.